Hello and welcome once again. You know, I've been just sitting here thinking and got my Bible open to 1 Corinthians 13. It has the heading here, The Way of Love. The Way of Love. Now, these are important words because these are words that came from the throne of God. And that should be recognized, first of all, before we even begin. So, with that thought in mind, I wish to open with a prayer before we get into the message. Dear Heavenly Father, I understand, Lord, the purity of your word. I understand, Lord, its need in our lives if we are to be drawn close to Thee. I understand, Lord, that your word will never return void. I understand, Lord, that we are living in a time when things are waxing worse and worse. And it's a time when we should look up. And if we are not sure of our salvation, then we should make sure now. Not tomorrow, not the next day, but now. Because tomorrow is promised to no one. Lord God, give me utterance, and Lord, open the ears. Unstop them, Lord, of those who hear this message today. And Lord, when all is said and done, may you be glorified. May Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray, be lifted up. Amen. Amen. Obviously, the title of my message today is The Love Chapter. The Way of Love, according to the Word of God. I'm sure you're going to enjoy it as much as I enjoy reading it from time to time. The Bible. Well, the Bible is, according to Scriptures, God's infallible, inerrant, inspired Word. Isn't that enough? Wow. It's a love story indeed. A love story of the greatest magnitude delivered unto mankind by the way of the Holy Spirit. Given unto whomsoever will. Are you a whomsoever will? I pray you are. If not, I pray you will be by the end of this message. The greatest instruction manual that was or ever would be written is the Holy Bible, the Word of God. God's Word is, well, it's a virtual compass, a direction finder. Not only is it the window to our soul, not only does this holy book tell us about our origin, but also of our destiny. More importantly, our destiny. Do you know where you're going when you leave this earth? Now, we know we're going to the grave, unless the rapture happens first. Nonetheless, if you belong to God, if you are a born-again son of God, then you will know for sure that when you close your eyes in this life, you will open them again in the presence of God. Hey, that's good for me. Is it good for you? Between the pages of this most holy book, the very breath of God breathed out his instructions to a world he would one day embrace beyond a golden sunset. Beyond a golden sunset. Within the confines of this great book, the Holy Bible. You will find the story of each of our lives. No, it doesn't apply to him, to her. It applies to you. It's up to them to receive its application. It's a story of each life. You will learn and live every page. You will be downcast by its tragedies, but you will be lifted up by its miracles and its hopes. Yes, yes, there is much not to love in God's holy book. Or at least it would seem. Yet it's all about love. It's all about love. Now, some of you may say, well, that's love, killing. Well, God created us. He made us. So, if we obey Him, He will bless us. And blessings from God are the greatest love any of us could receive. Our message today centers around that particular love. And that's why we call it the love chapter. The love chapter. Now, if you have your Bible handy, you may wish to turn to 1 Corinthians verse 13, or chapter 13, rather. 1 Corinthians 13. The elegance of mankind. A well-trained tongue. But without that love which cometh from above, you know what? We're nothing. Nothing at all. Less than nothing. I have surpassed my given time of 70 years upon this earth. I have. I'm 75. And for that, I am deeply grateful. And though the road I was given to travel was like a crooked path prepped with the gravel of learning. Two things combined to become the archway of my attainment to a holy and righteous God. Two things. The ever-emerging flames of the fire beneath my feet and the enormity or the enormous expanse of the power above my head. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. My King James Bible has given it a name. They call it the Way of Love. It's also most commonly known, as I've uttered, the love chapter. When you say the love chapter, people who know the Bible immediately know what it is, what it's about, where to look for it. These 13 verses, they cover, well, a wide spectrum of God's great love for His creation. For His creation, but in a simplified fashion that we, mankind, that we can understand. The emphasis throughout this chapter is on God's love, using the word charity. You see, charity is love. As a child before salvation, well, I was always told that charity begins at home. Now that I've grown, I find that a little bit selfish. In a way. You learn about charity at home, no? In other words, family comes first. If you have a family, if you're a dad, you're a working dad or not, it's up to you. It's your responsibility, dad or fathers, to look after your family. And I'm not going to get into it, but, you know, a lot of women, mothers, have had to take up the reins in order for their family to survive. Where there's two working parents instead of one. And the results are not always good because the children become ignored and problems arise. Because it's not the way God meant it. He meant for the man to labor, to bring the income, to supply for the family's needs, for the woman to be a worker in the home, to guide the home, to take care of the children. You know, family does come first after God. Then that which remaineth that you are blessed with, that you can give out, should be used to help the poor. And that's another sermon. Let charity begin with God. Let charity begin with God. In verse 1 of the love chapter, the Word of God tells us that charity is paramount, even above wisdom and knowledge. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Nothing. You're nothing. In verse 2, basically what God is telling us is it makes no difference how prophetic or wise or knowledgeable we may be, nor does it matter that our faith is strong enough to move mountains. If we have not charity, if we have not love, then we are zip, zero, or nothing. Nothing in the eyes of God. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. I just want to turn over to Matthew 7. Matthew 7. Matthew. Matthew is a wonderful book. It's a prophetic book. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. We'll get a better understanding if we encompass this. 21 and 223. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? In verse 23. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Wow. Now verse 3, over in 1 Corinthians. Although I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Nothing. Matthew 6, verses 1 and 2. Let's go back to Matthew 6, verses 1 and 2. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Don't go boasting. Hey, guess who I gave money to today? Oh, I feed 1,000 children every year. Ooh, do you? You think God doesn't know that? You don't do it to become sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal, but to let the world know who you are, how great you are. The greatness you are in the eyes of God is more important than the greatness you are in all the world. Verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. You don't go around boasting about what you're doing. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Charity, my friends, is love. And vice versa. Charity is love. But it's the love that God explains to us in chapter 13, 1 Corinthians. All you need to know about how to love or how to show charity is explained in the love chapter, chapter 13, 1 Corinthians. If you live down the street from a rich family who sent food and raiment to feed and clothe you or your family, say, then of course you would be thankful, wouldn't you? But if that same rich family snubbed their nose at you when you passed their way, simply because they think themselves above you, well, then in the eyes of God, they are nothing. Nothing. They can vaunt themselves all they want. They're nothing. Again, sounding brass, tinkling cymbal. Excuse me. Verse 6. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. In other words, you don't boast about your achievements that are against God, your sinful condition. You don't boast in that. Oh, you should have seen me last night. Oh, boy, I had one too many. What a ball I had. What? You think God wants to hear that? God knows it. But he doesn't want to hear you bragging about it. You don't rejoice in your iniquity. You rejoice in the truth. Not as people who love to hold their fist in the air and shout slander at righteousness, but instead applaud that which the Lord hates. That's them. They applaud that. They applaud the iniquity that God hates. You know, if you ever attend, and I pray you don't, but if you ever did attend a gay pride parade, and these people are parading up and down the street, you know, with hardly anything on, and dancing, and being jubilant about their freedom. And you're there watching that. And maybe applauding even. Then you are the same as them. No, you haven't taken your clothes off. But just to be there, to watch it, is to be a part of it. You have no charity. You have no love. in fact, who have no understanding. Verse 7. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Verse 8, the word of God, the way of love, the way of love never fails. It never fails. You may think it has at times, but God is in control. If you have charity, you have love. And if you believe in God, it never fails, at least in the eyes of God. The way of love never fails. Charity never fails. But where there be prophecies, they shall fail. And whether they be tongues, they shall cease. And whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. But the word, the way of love, the word of God, never fails. Never. And verse 9 gives us the answer why. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. We know in part, and we prophesy in part. Chapter 8, verse 2. There is great clarification. If any man think he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing. Yet, as he ought to know. In other words, he's not as smart as he thinks. I've been there, done it. I know I'm not as smart as I think, but praise God. Anyway, praise God. He gives me wisdom when I need it most. He gives me direction when I always need it. What a wonderful God we serve. Verse 10 in the love chapter. But when that which is perfect is come, well, we know who that is, then that which is in part shall be done away. That which is perfect, of course, is what? Jesus Christ. Right? And I just love the final three verses, 11, 12, and 13. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Did you? You know, there are a lot of people. You've heard it said, living a second childhood. They just never became adults, never grew out of their childhood. Or they reclined, they went back to it, one or the other. Ever hear the saying, he's in his second childhood. Is that guy over there in the corner sucking his thumb? Not necessarily. Could be a major executive, even the president or the prime minister. We don't see them in their privacy. We don't know their every thought. He's in his second childhood. Ooh. Well, until he gets over his second childhood, he'll never be a man. In verse 12, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then, guess what? Face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as I am known. Okay, I want to turn to 2 Corinthians 3:18. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But, it says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Wonderful, wonderful words. And last but certainly not least, in our marvelous love chapter, last but not least, and now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of them all is what? Charity. Or love. Charity. It's called the love chapter, folks. But it's filled with charity. Does charity begin at home? Some would say so, but in reality, charity begins at the throne of grace. I want to thank you for listening, and God bless you. And remember, love is just another four-letter word until you turn it into charity, which is a seven-letter word. And we know what the number seven means, don't we? Oh, yeah. And God bless you.